Good morning, Bettina. This is Michael. I just got your email again this morning, and you're right, I forgot to answer your specific question when you had sent me the third one. I got distracted by it. So to answer your question briefly, let me tell you what God did with me is when I was going through the divorce and my wife began to do to me what your husband is doing to you, God asked me to not resist an evil person. He kept showing me Matthew 5:39, do not resist an evil person. But if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the left also. If someone sues you for your cloak, give to them your tunic as well. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with them too. God was testing me to see if I would be willing to be wronged. Now, I can only tell you this. This was one of the biggest, most important commands God had ever given me. Had I failed this, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you today. And there would be no Michael Criswell as you see it or as anyone sees it on the internet, because this was a gigantic pass or fail test. This was only a one-time thing. The Bible is so very clear that as a Christ follower, and this is going to be very difficult for you to understand, Bettina, but this is where the difference is between people who find life to the full and enter in and possess the promised land spiritually with Jesus Christ versus Christians who stay frustrated, disillusioned, confused, upset, victoryless. I want you to really, really pray about this. But the answer is very clear in Scripture. It doesn't say, unless you're a mother, unless you're a father. It says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. The reason why Jesus Christ can say this is because Jesus Christ is in control of evil people. And Jesus made it very clear. The only power you have over me, Pilate, is the power that's been given you from heaven. So anything that can be done to you as a Christ follower, you have to understand this in faith, can only be done because God permits it. And God tests you. He wants to know what's most important, justice on earth or my will be done in your life. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to be cast aside? Are you willing to be overlooked? Are you willing to be wronged? Verse 39, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, notice it doesn't say unless it's your wife or your spouse or your husband or a family member. No. And then let me share with you another scripture. Another scripture is in Luke 6:30-31. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone, including your ex-husband, including the father of your children, including your ex-wife, including the mother of your children, if anyone takes what belongs to you, like children, like money, like dignity, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The Bible says, Bettina, this is so clear. It's a black and white issue. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So ask yourself this question. At any time, would you like for your ex-husband to hire an attorney to sue you or to control your boundaries? The answer to that question is no, you wouldn't. So Jesus says we are to do to others what we would have them do to us. In every way, if you follow this, this is the Matthew 7:12 golden rule. You cannot fail, sister. Okay? Look at this. Isaiah 56:7. I, Jesus, this is a prophecy of Jesus. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. I hear myself standing in the kitchen amongst unbelievers. Oh, Mike, you're going to end up in jail. You should have hired an attorney. And I say these words. I don't know how. I don't know when. But my God will deliver me. I said it boldly to these ass NASA engineers who, you know, just didn't have any clue as to how powerful and wonderful God is. And now look, people's lives are saved because I was willing to walk into, here's the truth. People stop suicide. They stop second suicide attempts, third suicide attempts, because God brings them across my story. And think about it. There would be no story if I were not willing for my ex-wife to wrong me. But Tina, I can almost guarantee you, your husband has not done to you what my ex-husband or my ex-wife has done to me. In 10,000 divorces, a woman says, I've never seen a divorce like this. In 10,000. This was 3.5 years ago. She had no idea the kind of evil that my ex-wife, I don't even need to go into the details. It's just, the point is this. Here's another scripture. Lamentations 3:30-33. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. I had to be filled with disgrace. I had to be looked upon as nothing, totally defeated, totally been alienated from my children, the disgrace of a father who can't even be in his children's life, who couldn't afford to pay child support for a time, just horrible disgrace. Verse 31, for men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief on the children of men, but he invites you. These are my words now, not the scripture. He invites you to be willing to suffer. You should avoid evil people if you can. If you can avoid being taken advantage of, you do. But in this situation, you can't. You can attorney up, but that would be, to me, I couldn't do it. It violates what I know in scripture. It violates my conscience. So I was willing to be wrong, and people said, oh, I don't understand, you have to fight. I say, no, the Bible teaches that the Lord delights in those who fear him, and he crowns the humble with salvation. He delights in his people. He crowns the humble with deliverance and salvation. Who are the humble? Those who depend upon him. Now, another passage that you should look into is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Where it talks about lawsuits among believers, and you may say, for example, well, my husband's not a believer. And the principle is still the same. You overcome evil with good, and you, Paul says, you have lawsuits among yourselves, you're already defeated. He says, why not rather be wronged or cheated? So when you say you have to use an attorney, sister, let me tell you, from God's eyes, you're having to depend upon man. There's no other way around this unless the Lord himself tells you differently, like he says to you specifically something different, which usually it will not contradict his word. It may seem like it. For example, Jesus said, if anyone does not take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. But then in Mark chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, he sets a man free from demons. The man begs him to follow Jesus, and Jesus says no. So people say, oh, God will never contradict his word. That's a lie. It's not true. He will not contradict principles in his word. He will not get you to contradict moral laws. He will not get you to contradict loving other people. Go into the world and preach the gospel into all the nations. And then Paul says, great, I'm going to Asia. And the Holy Spirit says, no. Well, that's a contradiction. Michael commentary. I'm going to jump in right here. And where I was about to give some examples to Bettina, I'm going to cut in a clip from day 73 of the John 7:17 challenge audio. That day's devotion gave some very vivid examples directly from the Word of God of times when God contradicted himself or another passage or another instruction. Have a listen, and may God bless you as you do. Over the years, I've mentioned learning from the giants of the faith that, quote, God is a law unto himself, unquote. This means God gets to do whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants, even if it violates a previous word or command, law, or doctrine which he laid down. Contrary to what good religious people think, God cannot be pinned down by man, even by the Bible, which is why we must have a living faith in him and keep in step with his living spirit. See Romans 8:14 and Galatians 5:25.
This is much more difficult to do than just following a book of what so many believe to be just static words. Trust me, there is a dynamic, living God who still speaks and still works outside of that book. And as much as good men have wanted to believe God will never contradict the Bible, it isn't even true inside the Bible. I've pointed out many examples of God being a law unto himself, like in Genesis 3:17, where he punished Adam for listening to his wife's counsel, but then contradicted that by telling Abraham to listen to his wife's counsel in Genesis 21:12. Or his, quote, don't kill command in Genesis 9:6, contradicted by him asking Abraham to kill Isaac in Genesis 22:2. Or in Exodus 20 verse 4, when God commands not to make any graven image, but then contradicts that by commanding Moses to make the image of the bronze snake in Numbers 21:8 through 9. In Isaiah 31 verse 1, he warns of punishment to those who go down to Egypt for help, but then contradicts that by commanding Joseph and Mary to run to Egypt in Matthew 2:13. In Nehemiah 13:27, God commanded Israel not to marry foreign women, but he contradicts that by having Samson marry a foreign woman in Jude 14:2. In Leviticus 20 verse 10, God commanded that adulterers were to be stoned to death, but he contradicts that by asking Hosea to marry an adulterous woman in Hosea 2:1. In Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2:13, both Paul and Peter give the command of God that we must obey all governing authorities. But then God contradicts that by asking them to disobey, rebel against, or hide from the authorities in Acts 5:29 and 2 Corinthians 11:33. We even see Jesus resisting and hiding from the authorities in John 8:59 and John 10:39. As you can see, the Bible, like a temple, cannot contain all of God. As Tozer would say, all that is in the Bible is truth, but not all truth is in the Bible. This fact of God being a law unto himself requires great humility and faith on our part to continue to walk with him. Religious Christians who don't have a true living faith in the living God don't like seeing this stuff in the Bible because it makes God seem too mysterious and too unpredictable to them. It takes him way outside of their comfy little doctrine box they thought they had him nicely contained in. Let me say this. If you have God all figured out and he always acts the way you expected, then you do not have him at all.
So people say, oh, God will never ask you to do anything to contradict his word. It's not true. He asked Abraham to kill Isaac. So I'm saying this to you, that he will not violate the principles in the scripture, but sometimes it could seem like he's asking you. For example, there's a scripture that says, if anyone does not provide for his family, especially his immediate family members, he has denied the faith and is worse than that of an unbeliever. Well, for a long time, I could not provide for my children and child support. Why? Because God had asked me to obey him and to not take these certain jobs or to take this or to take that. It was part of my having to deny myself. Someone says, oh, God will never ask you to do anything to violate scripture. Well, guess what? He asked me to do something that violated scripture. It violated a scripture, but not the principle of obeying God, the principle of denying self. There's two wings on a bird. Truth has two wings in order to fly. Yes, there's one that says don't if anyone does not provide. But then there's also the truth that many of God's most chosen servants have not been able to provide when they do what God asks them to do. So God, you're not being able to provide is a scripture that subordinates itself to the greater principle of obeying God no matter what. When Jesus says to you, pull your boat up on that shore and come and follow me and don't look back. And you say, but Lord, my nets and my boat and my fishing business. Oh, and Lord, our father, James and John, our father are sitting in that boat. We're just to leave. Yes, come follow me. They didn't question. And Peter, historically, the church says he has a daughter. And guess what? Now he can't provide money for his wife. He can't provide money for his daughter. Philip, we know, has four children. How could he provide? He can't. Somebody else has to provide for those children. How do we know this? Because into the ministry, Peter cannot even afford to pay a temple tax. How, if he can't afford to pay a temple tax, can he afford to pay for his children? How, if in the book of Acts, when the man asks for alms, he says, silver or gold, nor do I have. That which I have, I give to you. So Peter is dead broke, just like his Lord. So can we now take that scripture and say, oh, Peter, you now have disobeyed. You are in violation of the word of God. Don't tell me you can't afford to pay the temple tax. Don't tell me you can't afford to pay child support for your wife and for your child. You're violating the scriptures. God will never violate his word. Actually, yes, as a matter of fact, he did. He told us to pull our boat up onto the shore and to follow us. And as a result of our following him, the result was we were not able to make money for a long time. We had to suffer and we had to trust that God would provide another way. You see, so anyhow, I'm sorry if I sound passionate about it, but this is the ignorance of the word of God, not your ignorance. This is the ignorance of the word of God that's in the body of Christ, including me for 19 years that I didn't understand. I didn't know the deep things of God. As an example, you have to put yourself, Bettina, if you're going to be and you're going to step into what God has for you, there is no other way. Be willing to be wronged. Be nice to your ex-husband and don't fight him. If he wants to take the children away, let him go. Let the devil lose because the devil cannot win a fight you will not engage in. The devil wants to keep you focused on fighting the battle, not God. The devil wants to keep you offended. The devil wants to keep you wrapped up. The devil wants to keep you obsessively thinking about how wrong you are and how you're going to get yours and how you're going to fight and how your attorney can take care of this and how, oh, this is the way society works. I have to attorney up. No, you don't. Can I just tell you this, sister? Do you know something? If you fire your attorney tomorrow, God can give your ex-husband a heart attack tomorrow. God could give your husband a car accident. God could give your husband a new heart. God could have your husband lose a hand or a finger or lose an eye in an accident or have a stroke or end up in the hospital and humble him like you have no idea. God could crush that little ex-husband of yours like that. You see? Now, the chances of him doing that are slim, because God is full of mercy and compassion. But my point is, God can stop your husband's heart tomorrow, or he can change your husband's heart tomorrow. He can do this. What God is not concerned with your ex-husband right now. You have to get this. God is not concerned with your ex-husband. God is concerned about you, Bettina. You are the one that he sees hope for. You are the one he wants to bless. You are the one he wants to discipline. You are the one he wants to have you humble yourself, and you are the one he wants to teach you faith. Psalm 54:4, surely God is my help. It is the Lord who sustains me. Where does the help come from? Surely my attorney is my help. It is my attorney who sustains me. No. Proverbs 28:26, it is a fool who trusts in himself, but he who walks in wisdom will be kept safe. Isaiah 2:22, stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? These are the words of God through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 31:1, woe to those, meaning bad news, you're in trouble. Woe to those who go down to Egypt. Egypt is the marketplace, the doctors, the lawyers, the attorneys, the accountants. Not that you can't use them sometime, but who rely upon these, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen. Or you could put attorney in there, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, seek help from the Lord. If you're in a business fight, if you've been in a car accident, yeah, you may perhaps be inclined to use an attorney to use the laws, but this is not one of those matters. This is a spiritual battle you're in. light versus dark, good versus evil, Christ versus Belial. And how do we win spiritual battles? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces and principalities and powers in the heavenly realm. You're in a spiritual battle that you win through spiritual means, prayer, denial of self. The Bible says God is just. In Thessalonians, Paul says God is just. He will trouble those who trouble you. It may not happen in this lifetime, but are you willing? Are you willing to trust God's very best for you, Bettina? I'm telling you, sister, you're at a crossroads. This is where you have to, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his brother and sister, his wife and children, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. He says, I have come to divide a son from his father, a daughter from her mother, a daughter-in-law from her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. If anyone loves his father or mother, his brother or sister more than me, he is not worthy of me. So you have got to come to a place where Jesus Christ is more important to you than your children. And forgive me if I'm so tired right now. My brain's not working. I'm running 100% on grace. I talk to so many people. I can't remember if you have multiple children or just one. There's another lady I'm speaking to that has just one. So the point is, are you willing to trust? It comes down to this. What kind of faith do you have? Do you believe Psalm 94:9? Do you believe, does he who formed the eye not see and he who formed the ear not hear? Do you believe Luke 18:1-8, that you're to cry out to God for justice against the unmerciful judge, and that God will bring about justice for those precious ones of his who cry out to him day and night? Not crying out to the judge, not trusting in an attorney, but crying out to God. Look at Isaiah 50:10-11. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light. You're walking in the dark. You have no light. Trust in the name of his attorney and rely on his professional help. No. Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all of you who light fires and provide for yourselves with flaming torches, all of you who run to professional help, who run to man, who run to attorneys, go walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. God is looking for people who will trust him. When Abraham could not have a baby, they didn't go to a fertility specialist. They went to the only God who can control a woman's womb, who opens and closes wombs. That God, our loving Heavenly Father, is still the same exact God today as he was then. The difference is his people are not the same today. And the shallowness of faith is cast over the land. So you want to hear from the Father, but the words are clear in Scripture. If someone takes what belongs to you, time sharing, your children, dignity, reputation, money, if you can avoid it without fighting. As soon as you begin to fight using the means of human means, you're no longer trusting God. And God would say, oh, okay, I see. You've decided to handle this on your own. Okay, you will miss my best. You'll have an okay life. You'll maybe fight and eventually get some more time with your children. You'll have some decent peace, but I'm telling you, you will miss. You will not enjoy the life I'm enjoying now. I'm going to say that to you very boldly. If you fight, and again, this is not about you, Bettina. This is a principle for any child of God. Please forgive me. When I speak so boldly like this, my boldness and my conviction is for the Word of God, not for your particular walking in it or not. Yes, I know how important it is to encourage you to do this. You cannot lose trusting God. God is not going to look down from heaven and say, oh, goodness, bless her little heart. Oh, she doesn't realize I wasn't planning on helping her, and that I really just, in this instance, she needed to go ahead and get an attorney to fight this. She doesn't realize I'm too busy helping people who have real problems. Oh, sister, God is never going to say that. God is never going to say that. I have learned and continue to learn every day. God does everything in my life. I wait for God to act in every way in my life. I don't get ahead of God. I have learned how to watch God act in my behalf. Isaiah 64:4. For from days of old, they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. Wait for him. Lamentations 3:24 and 25. I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in his unfailing love. To the one who seeks him, it is good that he waits silently for the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. In the Old Testament, when you see the word salvation, it refers to getting them out of the situation they're in, not going to heaven. It is very, very rarely going to heaven. It is primarily salvation of being saved from the enemies, being saved from the drought, being saved from the famine, being saved from whatever. Okay? So think about Isaiah 49:23, and you will know through experience that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will never be put to shame. Was I put to shame? No, God ended my divorce on the 777th day, did something nobody had ever in their life heard of, asking me to pay $1 a month like a slap in the face to my ex-wife. Not me. I didn't slap her. I let her slap me. God is the one that slapped her back. And God has seen fit to allow her to do even more evil to me, even after that. And I praise God for all of it, Bettina. I praise God for all of it. Now I am filled every day with the fullness of the joy of the Lord. God gives me words for people. He blesses me. He keeps me. I have grace. I have peace. I have joy. I don't ever have bad days, Bettina. My only bad days are when people don't trust God or people act foolish. People reject my father. People reject the godliness, godly advice in the Bible. That's the only bad times I have. And they're not bad days. They're just bad moments. I don't care for anything about what happens to me. Nothing. God is my everything. He is my portion. And you don't get to this place by trying. You don't get to this place by deciding, and you don't get to this place by working it up. It only comes by obedience. It only comes by denial of self. It only comes by surrender. It only comes from years of surrender, years of sacrifice, years of denying yourself. I signed up and I had to be made fun of. I had to be rejected by all of my family members. I mean, all of my family members. I had to be willing to be rejected by my own pastor, who says I'm not only wrong, I'm dead wrong. I had to be willing to be rejected by two of my best friends, losing both of them. I had to be willing to be rejected by people in my church. I had to be willing to be rejected by everybody. Psalm 66:10-12. That's how I got to this place of spiritual prosperity. I had to be refined like silver. I had to be brought into prison. I had to have burdens lay on my back. I had to be willing to allow men to ride over my head. I had to be willing to be put into the fire and into the cold and into the fire and into the cold and into the fire. And now, oh my God, I praise him every day. I praise him because I was willing to suffer. I was willing to be wronged. I was willing to say, I'm not going to fight for my life anymore. I'm not going to fight for my dignity anymore. I'm not going to fight in court anymore. If God, you want to see fit to take my children out of my life for the rest of my life, so be it. I trust you that much, God. I love you that much. They're not my children. They belong to you. Who am I? I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. The Spirit of the living Christ lives inside of me. I'm the temple for the Holy Spirit. Is it my responsibility to fight for me? No. I will trust you. I will trust you. Bettina, it always comes down. Acts 27:25. Be of good courage, men, for I have faith that it will happen just as God has promised. Or Romans 4. Abraham, against all hope, in hope, believed God, and it was counted to him in righteousness, facing the fact that his body was dead and his womb, his wife's womb also was dead. Abraham did not waver through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Being what? Fully persuaded that who? that God had the power to do exactly as he promised. I have to end it with this story. God ended my divorce on the 777th day. He tried to tell me over 100 times, 777, 777. Then he showed me in my Bible the exact thing that he did written on page 777 in my Bible. I would like to encourage you to go listen. You know what? I'm not going to tell you this story. I want to encourage you to go listen. I believe it is video number 22 on that page. It's Knowing God Through Experience. You need to listen to that recording and hear for yourself. Please trust God. Trust God. Be willing to be wrong. Go listen to that video and see what you hear in that, and be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, sister. Sorry it took me so long to get back. Let me know if you have any more questions. Bye.